Hello, friends. This is Chris Jansen with the End Evil Podcast. Welcome back to another episode. Evil is the destruction of freedom. I'd like to show you guys something I was able to get my hands on recently, some copies of the book, The End of All Evil by Jeremy Locke. If you're interested in getting a copy, go ahead and send me an email or contact me through the website endevil.life. And I'd appreciate it if you'd share this episode and check out endevil.life. There's a lot of great material there and content. You can scroll back. There's even a donation page where you can help be part of this movement to end evil. We're seeing evil destroying our world and the future of humanity. What are we going to do to change it? What are we going to do to reverse this terrible direction we're going as humanity? In the grip of authoritarianism, collectivism, we have to find a way to communicate and effectively learn to empower individuals and learn how to work together to some extent in order to change this terrible dynamic. So I'm encouraging other people to be part of this conversation with me. And you got to talk with our friends. We got to talk with other people online. We have to learn how to have conversations. And in the modern day, from my perspective, conversations are getting harder to have and communication has broken down. Despite all the modern technology we have, it seems to be harder and harder to have simple communication with people. So to exemplify how good communication can happen, I'm going to bring on some folks I see to be very astute experts in their means of rhetoric, their ability to communicate. And I invited some people that I've gotten to know online here to join me today, and I'm going to bring them in now if I can get Restream to behave. And I got with me today Brandon Spencer, Derek Bartolacelli, Jerry Tappan, and James Cordner. And thanks for joining me, folks.
What's up?
Hey, Jerry. How's it going?
What's up, Jerry? Brandon. Good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, bonjour out there.
Derek.
James, good to see you, man.
See you guys.
What's up, Derek?
And it looks like we got Sarah Cross with us, too. Awesome. Some real winners. So to get things started, guys, I'm just going to kind of introduce some of my thoughts on this topic. What kind of got it going on me was, honestly, it was social media, trying to follow Telegram threads and such, and noticing that platforms. Oh, that was Jerry. It was playing through your speakers, my man. I got you muted on my end. That's all good. That stuff happens. Part of the live show excitement. We got some folks in the chat. Chris Nelson, Leslie Powers. Thanks for coming, folks. So I was going to introduce my thoughts on this. So I'm looking at these chats I see online, whether it's a Telegram chat or a Facebook thread. And over, I guess we all know that these aren't the best places to have effective communication. But even in communication with real live people in my own life, when I get to talking about some of the topics that we do, natural law, government, slavery, and these type of things, I find myself butting heads with people and we're disagreeing on the terms we're using, or they think I mean something I don't. And the best I try, I still have difficulties. So, I would like to hear each of you. I'll pass it around and let's just start off by tell me how you think we're doing with communication in the world in the modern day, in your impression. You know, where do you think we're at? I'll pass it to Brandon first.
Hey, thank you for having me on. Thank you to everyone who is joining us. First, as always, before I even begin to break down what I'm going to say, what's going on, Chris? It's always good to have Chris, you know, like in the chat. He always brings some words of wisdom. it's best to break down our words so that way, you know, people can understand what I'm coming from when I'm talking, you know, about the art of communication. So, hell, of course, let's define the word art, a skill, a practice, or a craft. Then the word communicate, you know, what does it mean to communicate? The act of imparting, sharing, to give, to take part, or to transmit, you know, information, because that's really what you are doing at the end of the day, is you are imparting, you are transmitting, you know, information and knowledge to some other person or to some other thing. So that's really what communication is, as far as what I'm talking about. So, you know, to be clear, that way people aren't coming to any misrepresentations in their own, you know, skewed, you know, have mindsets or, you know, incorrect definitions. So, and also too, this communication is done on a, you know, a person-to-person basis, but it can also be done on a, you know, person imparting information onto a symbol. You know, so there's always a sender and there is a receiver and then there's a median, you know, that connects or bridges those two together. And that's why, like, the media has always been the median for a tool for communication and mind control and manipulation. So communication itself has always been like a kind of Hermes, kind of like mercurial, you know, symbolic force. You know, because you're talking about the travel and the flow of information from point A to point B. So when communication is strong, you usually have a healthy relationship. You know, there's clarity, you know, like there's more harmony. And then when communication is weak, you generally have a breakdown in relationships. It doesn't matter if that relationship is a, you know, a spouse relationship, you know, friendly relationship, work dynamic, even in society. You know, if we have strong, healthy communications in our relationships, then that usually brings more, you know, coming together, more harmony, you know, a true bond. Just as with the opposite, once that starts to break down, once the information starts to stop being transmitted and imparted, then that usually leads to more chaos and, you know, more unfavorable, you know, conditions. And how lastly, it's just like, you know, a frequency. In order to receive correct information from a radio, you have to be tuned in to that frequency in order for that knowledge and information to transmit. So you have to be on like the same wavelength. And it works that same way, you know, when it comes to, you know, communicating with, you know, help each other, is we need to be at least somewhat on the same wavelength. That way we can transmit that, you know, correct information, and that way the other person receives that, you know, information, so that way they can interpret it and perceive it correctly. And then, hell, lastly, communication is not just about language and speech. It's also about expressions, you know, because you can communicate just off, you know, body language, you know, symbols, gestures, dance, hell, etc. So, you know, people really need to broaden their scope and just not look at, you know, communication just something via by way of language and text. It's something that's even much more greater, because, you know, you can communicate through dance and all kinds of means, you know, art, paintings. It's just a vehicle to express and to, you know, send and impart that knowledge and information from point A to point B.
Yeah, I really like that. Point A to point B, that's, you know, one point is just an individual aspect. Two points make a line. And when we think a line of communication, right, we can't have that until we, you know, bridge that gap between the one point and the two, the one to two. That's extremely important aspect of our reality. So thanks for that, Brandon. Just to kind of like repeat the question, I'm basically asking you guys, like, where do you see us at right now as humanity in our current ability to communicate? Thanks for joining us, Sarah and Chris, by the way. Glad to have you guys here. Derek, do you want to jump in next?
Yes. Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yep.
All right, cool. My neighbor caught fire, their whole house, so I got like no electricity. I'm rocking phone with like a little lamp going on, so my phone might die. So if that's the case, so be it. I might disappear, whatever, it doesn't matter. But the state of the world, ooh la la, aujourd'hui, mon ami, you know, being bilingual is really fruitful, and it just works. You think about different ways of language and stuff, and like sometimes and blah blah blah. But you know, going back to your question, Chris, in general, you know, the fact that the majority of humanity doesn't really have their heart open, activated, you know, the heart chakra, their throat chakra isn't all that cracking. You know what I mean? Kind of like, you know, if that is like the bridge, or if you will, or even like the threshold of, and a lot of people are programmed to be operating on their lower senses and yada yada. And they're programmed to so many fucking different degrees with the television and news and all those things, where it's dumbed down to like an eighth grade, sixth grade level. Even fucking ChatGPT kind of holds it to that kind of level of rhetoric, or, you know, for people to understand type of thing sometimes. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's kind of what I've heard, consensus with some people. I haven't really tested all that much myself. But, you know, have emojis and other digital text that's replacing proper speech, and people are becoming lazy. And the kids growing up these days, they're not even developing proper communication skills to begin with. And it's so ironic, right? We're in the communication age with, you know, we could instantly call and look at this. Who would have thunk it, you know, 20 years ago that we could have these video chats, kind of like, you know, Marty McFly and Back to the Future. It's like, whoa, that's so cool. One of the flying cars coming out now, right? But just, it's so weird with the social media effect and the TikTokification of things, and people have patience for just a bunch of different opinions and really triggered these days, and people just want to, you know, stand on their boxes, it seems, and say what they want to say, and they can easily not be held accountable because, you know, we're not talking face to face. So people are just, you know, splurging off of that, hinges, talking shit out of, and a lot of times out of pocket, and people over assume things about anyone over the slightest fucking disagreement, and it's really fucking sad. And you see that this on so many fucking levels, including the truth-seeking community, where y'all forget to search the truth within yourself, you know, align properly to hermetic principles and shit. The law of correspondence, how are you corresponding with yourself and corresponding with others, you know? So there's a lot of shit to consider, and this came to mind just the other day, and I'll pass it off, but yeah, in regards to like internet speech versus real life rhetoric, we have a bunch of people lip servicing whatever the fuck on all types of levels, right? Yet it's like lip service versus life service. You know, what are they actually doing out in reality? And are they actually walking the talk? And can they hold themselves accountable and, you know, not put on these masks in the digital realm and, you know, talk to someone online as if you would at face-to-face in person? And that goes just, you know, like back in the day, high school shit of, you know, the typical little gossip shit where people are getting whatever smack behind people's back, and they wouldn't say that to their fucking face. So people need to face the fucking facts and fess up to this immature fucking bullshit going on. Because, yeah, I get caught up in this, like, wow, people want to judge my whole life based off of two. It's like, wow, holy shit. People not need to take things so fucking personal, especially when we're talking about truthful matters. The truth isn't fucking about you. It's an objective reality and all these things. Your subjective perspective needs to align to that and not be butthurt about it. These harsh truths and revelations. So help each other, not fucking about like small fucking bull. Yeah, that we're here to kind of standard fucking high, I guess. I don't know. Well, I kind of do, but yeah, there's more to it than that. Great to see y'all, by the way. Yeah.
I like that point about the immaturity, Derek. That was like really early on my notes. I did a little recording this morning. I was just talking into my phone. And I was thinking about how, you know, when we're born as babies, we do communicate, even when we don't have words yet, by screaming, you know? Ah! You know what I mean? And a whole job of the parent is to spend the first few months trying to little by little teach this little being how to communicate its needs and wants without screaming. You know what I mean? The sooner we can get them off that screaming, right, James? You know, the sooner we can start having a conversation. And we got full-grown adults that are still behaving in so many ways like little children, just screaming metaphorically and realistically in the real world. People that aren't getting their way, that are in some sort of ego thing. But anyway, I'll pass it off to James. I know you got some thoughts, James. And
I have to follow such a bold display of parhesia that Derek just served up. That's fine, Chris. Thanks. To bounce off what you were just ending with, Chris, yeah. Yeah, there's definitely some, you know, feeling your way through the early stages of being a parent, you know. It kind of transfers into later on in life too, where people have needs that are largely unfulfilled and they don't even know that those needs are unfulfilled, yet they're still trying to communicate out that something's wrong. They can feel it. That's where I see where we're at today as humanity, as a whole. A lot of needs that are unfulfilled, a lot of things that were robbed from us that are sometimes, for people in the know who are maybe aware or awake, whatever you want to call it, seem to be just out of reach. And that's for the people that are aware. Never mind the people that aren't even, their subconscious is aware, their connection to the universe is aware, but their corporeal form, everything that they value or perceive to value, is completely cut them off from having any sort of greater awareness to what the big problem is. We do not communicate effectively with one another as humans. That's the truth. And speaking of the truth, it's because they don't tell the truth. We don't tell the truth to each other. We don't communicate effectively. Just to really bear down on that point. This creates a lot of strife among the people that we are surrounded with. And it creates a lot of like just sheer havoc, really. It's a sad sight to see, but that's, you know, we can sit here in this chat and there's plenty of us that are aware, people that are on the One Great Work Network and people that are on in the, you know, fringes and have podcasts of this sort. But largely what we're up against is a lot of people who are mentally retarded. And it sucks. Because when we're trying to communicate these greater ideas to these people, and it's not their fault necessarily. I don't see it as their fault. Maybe somebody would disagree with me on that, and that's fine. I see it as something that was robbed from them. Something that definitely robbed from them. Ability to see the truth, ability to feel the truth has been robbed from the masses. That's what makes communicating these ideas so difficult to them, because they see it as a personal attack. When you try to tell them about all the wrongs that are going on around them, they've become so ingrained in the system and they've identified themselves as a part of it. And then when you start to attack the system, I know it's been said before, but when you start attacking the system, they identify themselves as a part of that system. So they see it as an attack on them. And when you're just sitting there going, no, these groups of people called government are doing these things and it's wrong. They're going against your natural law rights. They're transgressing upon them every single waking second of your life. And it's a hard truth to face. Frankly, people don't want to face it. And when you try to communicate those things, they're going to have an adverse reaction to that type of rhetoric. That's what we're up against. And it's nothing's ever going to change until each individual person has a paradigm shifting moment in their individual life where that allows them to drop their ego and to see for themselves. No amount of communication from an outside source is ever going to really do any good, as much good as a individual paradigm shifting moment can do. I've had one. I think everyone else in this room has had one. How else would we end up in a End Evil podcast. You wouldn't. So that's where I see, you know, humanity as a whole. But there's brave people that keep shouting from the rooftops like, hey, look, they're doing something over there. That's fucking wrong. And that's what it's going to take. You know, what is it that the Kybalion, the quote there at the beginning of the Kybalion, it says, oh, let not the flame die out. That's the speech, the speaking of the truth that's going to carry this message on into the future. So just maybe future generations have a chance to live in peace, like real peace under natural law, you know? So I guess that's kind of where I'm at, like, you know, where with my perception of things, and I'll pass it to the next person.
Yeah. Thank you, James. Well said. And you're already getting into what was going to be my next question, but I'll wait on that. And let's hear from Chris Nelson. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for the invite. So the question, give your assessment of where we're at as humans. So relative to our potential, it's pretty damn low. But also relative to where we've been, it's pretty high. If you look back in history and you see the events as they're described to allegedly have taken place, well, you know, big ones are like the Inquisition. That was pretty damn bad, especially to like women who were called witches and burning people alive. You know, that's pretty horrible. So if you look at now, well, that's not really something that's accepted in society. So we're doing a lot better than then. So in terms of that relativity, you know, looking at various things in the past, you know, there was widespread slavery, as, you know, it was just thousands of years ago. It was just, oh, well, that's just normal. You know, philosophers talking about things and trying to philosophize about what's good, but they never talk about slavery because slavery was just like a de facto condition of reality, and they didn't think of it as anything else because they were conditioned by the condition they were raised in, and then they perpetuated that condition. And yeah, if you look at where we are now, well, it's a lot better than then, but we still have a long way to go relative to our potential, the infinite potential that we each have and how we can collectively co-create a better world. You know, we can just, that's what our imagination is for, to reach for that potential. And the way to actualize it, the proper way, is through moral actualization, moral individuation. And that requires the knowledge of objective morality. And if we align with that and use our imagination, well, we can create so much abundance and freedom and prosperity for all of us on the planet. And so we have a long way to go in that respect. And our ability to communicate effectively is an important factor in that, because our communication, I was looking at, related to the title of the podcast this evening, I was looking at some slides I made a little over 10 years ago on my presentation on metaphysics, reality, what was it called? Metaphysics, Language and Reality, Fundamentals of the Trivium, based on Sister Miriam Joseph's book on Trivium. And, you know, that's what we're talking about, is the art of communication. Well, that's what rhetoric is. Rhetoric is the output. So in order to develop the art of communication, or the art of thinking, which is logic, or the art of inventing and combining symbols, which is what the grammar part is, well, you know, we have to develop, as Brandon said, the art that's it comes from our arms, what we create with. So, you know, Will Keller is big on we need more, less leaders and more artists. So we get, that's people who create. So you can create a bunch of things and communicate in a bunch of different ways, as Brandon was mentioning. The most effective in terms of getting concepts across is language, where you can specify with more precision what you're trying to refer to, and you develop and use all those symbols to communicate that. The other part of the the corollary of the descriptions of the trivium world with the rhetoric, the output, well, ultimately it's to get to the part of wisdom. So it's not just speaking anything or outputting anything, but it's to output in terms of wisdom, which is always in moral alignment. So you have to be able to communicate with the objective of promoting the good, what is right, what is good, what is true. And yeah, I guess that's what I got to say about the question. That's it for me.
I'm really glad you brought up the trivium. I was just kind of itching, waiting to pop that up. You know, folks, go back to freedomundernaturallaw.com. Speaking of which, let's do a quick little shout out here for Humanity Rising. You know, if you haven't set aside your calendar, February 22nd and 23rd is going to be the Freedom Under Natural Law Conference. We're all really looking forward to that. In fact, we have some speakers with us today that are going to be presenting there. But last year, it was the year before, wasn't it? Funnel 3 was all about the trivium. And I remember Richard Grove did a really cool presentation about the trivium. And I think just a three-step process towards thinking helps a lot in conversations and in communication. Like, figure out what is it we mean? What are the words we're going to use? What do they mean? And then what are the disagreements? And then what is the conclusion based on, you know, those things? You know, going through that process is an incredibly important way to go about communication that wasn't taught to me in school. But anyway, I'd love to hear from Sarah Cross. Thanks so much for joining us, Sarah Cross of Crosstalk Radio.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for inviting me. Can you hear me? Okay.
Loud and clear.
So the question about an assessment of where we are at, that can be, I think we're all, honestly, I think we all experience our environments differently. So we have to look at it both individually and externally in a larger view. But I feel like the world has gotten very big, you know, especially with like technology and stuff. It really broadens out how we communicate and how we're able to communicate. And the world used to be very small for us as individuals. So we didn't always have what we have now. I mean, like if you were to ask me 20 years ago that you could do this kind of thing on like your phone, I'd be like, well, I can't even figure out how my beeper works. So, I mean, you know, it's like a totally different world. So, I mean, imagine what it would have been like 100 years ago or 200 years ago. It was a lot easier for communication to really be effective when you had smaller environments and smaller communities, and people understood each other a lot more effectively just because out of necessity, it had to happen that way in history for people to survive and get along and build a community and communicate and be on relatively the same page. And now it's becoming a challenge where that's hard to do. And it's becoming, you have to be more thoughtful about it, I think. So as irritable and cranky as I want to be with people, I have to always remind myself to step back and take in more of an empathetic approach and be like, okay, yeah, where I agree with all of you guys. People are certainly stunted, and I think that is definitely an external thing that is happening to them, an assault on them that is taking place in all manner of different ways. But I mean, I kind of feel like it's more like we're needing to increase our level of treatment on people in order to allow them to learn how to re-communicate and rebuild those skills. it's very difficult for people, like James said, people who are mentally stunted, who are not naturally born into that position. It's hard to regrow skills, to redevelop skills when you have been, you know, abused so thoroughly by like every external institution and system that's put out there in a modern world. So I've been starting to try to think of it more like, you know, approaching it with more empathy and like treating a problem. And I've been finding that the response that I get is where people are more receptive because now we're friends and we're not trying to force anybody to just take my word for it. I'm not telling people how it is. I'm giving them information and I'm allowing them to grow with it. So I feel like the approach like can vary and everybody has to do that differently, I think, and it works differently for everybody, but that's just where I think we are at. The world is so big. Communication has become a difficult thing, even with all this like awesome technology that allows us to communicate. There's still so many ways we can't communicate because our environment and our communities are so large and we don't know each other like personally one-on-one anymore. So we have to put in that extra effort in order to make it a personal thing and not such a distant thing. Because it's easy to go online and, you know, tap some crap out on your keyboard and talk some trash or, you know, say this or say that or whatever, and then like not be the face behind of what you're saying. I think that divides us quite a lot. And I think that causes a lot of communication issues. So I don't know. I guess that's what I'd say. I'd say the state of the world it's very large now. And we have to like take that in account when we try to communicate and maybe make the large world that's always been this size, but bring it down a little bit more to earth, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, that makes sense. I had another little window popped up that was in the way of my mute button, so it took me a minute to jump in there. But thanks for that, Sarah, and very true. And again, tying into what I was already thinking for the next question. So, Jerry, I'd love to hear your thoughts on where are we at, man, with this communication thing as people.
Well, it's a great question, Chris. And I want to apologize first and foremost for my technical issues earlier. That was very noob of me, but we're past that. Now, to address your question, where are we at? We're obviously not in a good place. You know, you have the political left and right paradigms, people are choosing sides, and the answer is in the middle. It's neither. So, yeah, people just want to latch on to these false ideologies, these religions that aren't serving anybody, and they just close their minds. And the answer is to free your mind and be free under natural law, which, you know, the conference is coming up. And I think each and every one of you that are participating, I commend you because it's, well, at least like the organizers, because it's 2 days, that's sacrifice. But in regard to the communication, like Brandon was saying, dance is a form of communication. It's not just verbally. It can be body expressions. So what are you communicating if you're not putting the truth out? You're pretty much saying it's okay for our rights to be taken away and just, you know, we don't care. And, you know, the natural law is going to reflect that back to us and we're just going to get slavery. And if you're okay with that, then, you know, shut the podcast off. But if you're not, then, you know, you got to do something each and every day to try to bring freedom to the planet. And it starts with the individual, like Sarah said. I mean, here in Mexico, it's a lot different than where you guys are at. I'm sure people here, they're fine with guns being banned and, you know, the police will take care of us. And sure, it's one of the safest places in the world, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be able to defend ourselves. And if we defend ourselves, you know, it's because we have the right to do so, and they shouldn't throw us in jail because, you know, of a man-made law. So we have the truth behind us and we can communicate that. And I think that's what we're doing. So I'll leave it there.
Nice work, Jerry. And I got to say, Jerry, you've come a long way in your communication skills since I've known you. You're just doing better and better, it seems like, with every time we discuss this, of making really good points. And that is a good point that makes me think of "Hello, silence, my old friend," the sounds of silence, right? Like when you don't say something and there's something wrong going on, that is a very real communication, right? And ignorance or neglect are forms of communication just as well as aggressive yelling is. So, you know, there's more than one side to this thing, and that's a very important aspect there. The next question I was going to ask you folks, I think everybody touched on this answer already a little bit, which is, what are some of the barriers to communication? And I think that question was kind of inherent in everybody's first answer, but if you can address some specifically that stick out for you, some of the barriers for communication. And then if you already have said that, also, like, what are the solutions to those barriers? What are the ways around those barriers? And I'll start by just saying, to me, I see a major barrier to communication called text messaging. I think text messaging is a trash ass type of communication. And I'm not saying I don't do it. I do. I appreciate it for certain things. And, but it's sort of like, the type of sugar that is in candy, you know. It's like, it's one thing just to have sugar, but it's another thing to turn into this concentrated form that, destroys people, destroys people's health. You know what I mean? Like, it's now just straight up a stomach bomb poison. And I feel like text messaging allows people to get out of dealing with emotions a lot of times. It sends mixed messages, and it truncates our ability to actually flesh out an idea. So I'm not saying you shouldn't use it at all, but I think I would recommend people consider when we should use text messaging and when we shouldn't. I've learned some hard lessons in my own life on that, and so I thought it was worth bringing it up. But I'll go ahead and pass it on to Brandon. I'm going to exit the screen just for a moment here. I got to grab something real quick, but I'm still here listening. All right.
Yeah, before I talk about it, I just want to bring more knowledge to what Chris said. He put out a video in 2015 titled "Metaphysics, Language, Reality, and the Fundamentals of the Trivium Method," and I watched that video about 5 times, and it helped really piece some things together as far as better understanding of the trivium and metaphysics and the importance of language. And I highly encourage you know, everyone to check out that video. It's only about 2 hours long, but it's very important, and I would consider that one of the most important top 10 videos in my, you know, opinion that's online that I've come across, because it gets into the really metaphysical parts that a lot of people seem to ignore. But Chris mentioned the whole text and stuff like that, and yeah, we live in an era of, you know, people want to look down, forget their phones, and just do all these texting. But the problem with the text is you don't really get too much context, you know, as far as the reference to what someone's saying. So a lot of things can get misrepresented. You can't really bring much clarity. You can't really go much into detail because, you know, like, people just do these little short text messages and they think that, you know, that explains it all. But then if you are on the receiving end, it's like it's like, what did you mean? And then people start using all these slang terms and like start using all these hell abbreviations. And like, I'm kind of a person who's like not in the loop. So I hate when I have to kind of like decipher like what you're saying. It's like, just, you know, be clear and spell your words out. Stop using these, you know, middle school slang terms. Stop abbreviating stuff. It's like, stop being lazy and just have some care and respect for language to where you actually, you know, just spell it out. And then too, you know, growing up, we had the whole Ebonics crap. You know, it's just a complete disregard and disrespect for language. And of course, you know, yeah, I grew up in a, you know, African American family, and that was like the thing, you know, like everybody wanted to be cool. Everybody wanted to use these slang, stupid Ebonic terms that, and it just made you look ignorant. It just made you look even more foolish. And, you know, you have all these dialects and you got people who deliberately try to, you know, pronounce words, you know, differently to sound cool. And it's really just, it brings down your true hell intelligence. And this is something that I had to get out of. And, you know, of course, using certain words, you know, because growing up, I would say this particular word, you know, that a lot of black people call each other, it starts with the word N. And that's something that I had to break out of. That was one of the, you know, the, you can say, cultural barriers that I had to break out of, because at the time I was ignorant, but now I don't consider myself ignorant. So I don't use that word or choose to, you know, call other people that word. A lot of people in the African American community still do, and it just displays their own, you know, ignorance. And then they'll tell other people, you know, you can't use that same word. And it's like, well, so much for free speech. But again, like, these are just some of the barriers when it comes to, you know, like, communication. Is like, why are we using these, you know, hell belittling and derogatory words to represent ourselves and to represent others? And then, of course, you know, sticking with African American community, because this is what I largely grew up in and had to break those barriers. You know, a lot of the music we listen to, you know, is derogatory toward, you know, women. It's not talking about, you know, like freaking healthy families. And it's just using, you know, all these slang terms that are just so degrading and belittling. And these are some of the barriers that I try to, you know, help educate, you know, like other, you know, people in the African American, you know, community, you know, hell about. But, you know, they just have those, you know, those mental blockages in their mind, and they see it as, you know, like some kind of honor. You know, and it's like using those, you know, slang words and using those derogatory terms to, you know, to describe something that they, you know, supposedly love. It's like you're doing the complete opposite. So that was some of the barriers that I had to break. I know, you know, it may be different for, you know, each and of us all, because we all had, you know, different upbringings, you know, depending on where you grew up. But yeah, those are just some of the things that I've seen when, you know, I've tried to, you know, properly communicate with individuals, and then they'll hear how clear I sound. And it's like, people are shocked, you know, it's like people actually get shocked when they, you know, hear a black male, you know, who is actually communicating and speaking proper. And I'm like, this should be the standard. It doesn't matter, you know, color. It's like, we all should be speaking, you know, with correct, precise and clarity to portray these ideas and this information. So, yeah.
Thanks, Brandon. James, you want to pop in next? On or wait, no, we did Derek next last time, huh? Don't matter. Whoever's ready. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. James. I'll just go because I just got the 20% battery alert. So it sucks, man. I had some slides earlier today. My computer is not able to light up because, yeah, so, man. And I had a cool little intro, outro video for this whole thing. And, yeah, with the One Great Book Warriors, sometimes I like to tinker around with that. And we had a great show as well last year titled Etymology, Word. So remember that. Brennan and Chris, just real quick to echo off the whole texting stuff, is, yeah, there's things that are kind of lost in translation, right? With, you know, just instead of hearing someone's voice and the tone behind it, and the you kind of get that feeling of it, and there's like a cadence and just life behind it, and the you don't, and that's void in just like the text and just, you know, words on it. Yeah, those are things that it just seems like people don't take that into account sometimes, and I just put those things aside and just deal with the facts or whatever, or ask for clarity. And right, we did a video on that as well with the Great Work Warriors, and you know, like what happened to, you know, wanting to have that art of mainstream media and whatever the fuck they be feeding us. They're quite good at it, and they've invested scrillions of dollars. Yeah, going back to the barriers, I think a lot of it, yeah, Brandon, you mentioned it with the mental blockages, and yeah, like the first, right, like if people aren't out of that first fucking gate, then yeah, their correspondence, all that legit, you know, people need to get their mind right and get it with the proper in going to the Trivium, right, to process it, understand, and then, you know, have that fucking with some better shit than what they got right now, right? So yeah, education, it really goes back to that as well as just, you know, folks really working on themselves and keeping their fucking ego stuff in check. And, you know, I went through the ringer, and, you know, living in France and not speaking much of the language at all, right? I was listening like tenfold as opposed to, and yeah, folks know the old, we got two ears and one mouth for, right? Do the math on that, right? So, so yeah, it was like really humbling for me, like just listening to learn the whole time. And, you know, through that process of years and stuff, and like when I would tell people, you know, my friends and this and that, like, and even, you know, working at a restaurant, like something that's not proper, if I even mispronounce something, cut in and, you know, correct me, please. And that was getting over a barrier of mine of, you know, I would have a pet peeve of hating it when, you know, someone would cut in on, over other people and all that jazz, right? So, yeah, it's like people seem to be listening to react more than to respond, right? That proper responsibility and all that mental and agility. But yeah. so yeah, we have to be patient with a marathon. And there's so many different, and if folks aren't trying to learn things on a daily fucking basis, you might be doing it wrong. No, just kidding. But and wanting to have a lot more intake than the contraire and all that stuff, but yeah, we gotta keep things balanced. Myot, in case you forgot, check out Brandon's cool presentation. We did a live stream on that the other day. So for now, that's
all. Yeah, you know, you mentioned education. In some ways, too much education, I think, stymies a lot of people's ability to communicate. There's like notoriously people that are like the real egghead kind of software engineer for their whole life, like, are, you know, just tend to be the type of people that are really awkward and have a conversation like, yo, you're standing too close to me, man. Like, people that spend so much time in our educational field sometimes also don't get the ability to socialize with people and understand little cues, and that stuff's important, all the little subtle things. But I'm going to pass it to James Cordner, my man from the Voluntarist Academy. What do you got to say?
I'd like to touch on something that Sarah brought up about the... I couldn't help but think of what H.G. Wells termed the abolition of distance. And this was a deliberate attempt in making propaganda more easily used against everyone on the planet, at least in the technologically advanced portions of the population. And in effect, what it means is that the communication abilities, the technology for communication was made, you know, to be this great thing that we're using even right now. But it's a double-edged sword, you see. And this is what's making me think about this barrier, right? Is that although we're able to communicate very, very easily, it still means that like the lie can get around the world just as quickly, right? Wasn't it Mark Twain that said the lie can spread before the truth can even get its pants on, you know? So, and we're talking about the trivium. So let's talk about the trivium, this wonderful three-step method of truth discovery that everyone likes to talk about. A part of the truth about the trivium is that it's also been weaponized. Due to this abolition of distance and the easier communication abilities, they've also been able to box people in a whole lot easier with propaganda. If you're only fed so much in the grammar stage, then that is what you're going to base your truth off of. And I say your truth with this most cringy feeling creeping up my spine that I even uttered the words in such company. But when people are only exposed to a set amount of information, then they're going to be basing their perspective off of that. Effectively, what we have is a room, and we've been let in that room and let free to roam inside that room. But don't you dare leave that room. The trivium has been weaponized. People don't like to hear that, but it has. There's something called it's 850 words, basic English. So if we're going to go off of the trivium just being a way of learning how to, you know, learning how to speak, right? Instead of like gathering information, doing all of that great stuff, then the English trivium method has been used to stunt the population of people out there. So when you have somebody with a lot of information that has come to people with very little information, what do you think is going to happen? The people with very little are going to have an adverse reaction to that. They're going to reject it outright because that's not what they've been fed, the narrative that they've been fed their whole life. How dare you go against that? So again, like this is a barrier. It's like it's a definite barrier. You know, we're up against a propaganda machine that's been running for over 100 years. And that's extremely difficult to fight. And so I don't know. Again, people need to rely on something in their own individual life that's going to make them drop their ego and see beyond what they've been told.
Oh man, I can't see around my ego. It's so big. It's taking up the whole screen.
How do you get out of the house, Chris?
Yeah, man, it's tricky. I've thought a lot about this, and I've talked about it on the podcast before. When I get offended, you know, a little bit offended is like always a sign that there's something in my own self work that I need to do. And I really like what Derek was saying about patience. You know, to me, a patience is the epitome of what love is. You know, we show mm-hmm. love, the true, closest to agape love, when we truly listen from our heart. And that is the biggest, one of the biggest steps in communication that allows the other person to recognize that you can, they can trust you enough to say what needs to be said, that you're not going to just interrupt them or take what they're saying the wrong way. So that's huge.
May I touch on something that could mitigate this?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So the greatest example I can use is the way that we deal with police. Okay. It's extremely difficult in the situation of having an interaction with one of those people to remind themselves that they are just that. They're a person. And they are probably among the most mind controlled of anyone. So what we have to do to mitigate this ruin is have like the utmost compassion toward people who just don't get it. And it's going to suck and it's going to hurt even yourself when you have to exercise this compassion. But that's the way we win at the end. Like, and not we in this room, but like we as in the people, the generations coming after us, the people who understand these things, the finish line, that's how we get there. Compassion. That's what mitigates this ruin that we find ourselves in. These people, they have just as much right and entitlement to be here as we do. And I feel like I'm talking in circles almost, but it's just so sad. I can't belabor the point enough that they have been robbed. It's been stolen from them. And it's our job to give it back. And compassion is the way that we do that.
Yeah, that really speaks of empathy too, which is another really important word in the realm of communicating and understanding where people are coming from. When we understand what someone's damage is, you know, like, what's your damage? Like, oh, this person's damaged. That's a different perspective. And then, you know, just being critical of someone than understanding why, yeah, why they're in the position they're in or where they're coming from, where they're coming from. So beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, the empathy is just as simple as saying, like, I was you at one point. I didn't know this stuff when I was born. I had to learn it. Yeah. And somebody had to like help me. Someone had to teach me, and it was a fight, but I came around. That person had a lot of compassion for me. Multiple people have had a lot of compassion for me. Said, I care about you.
Just like the infant.
I don't want you to go down this.
Like I talked about in the beginning, the infant doesn't know how to speak. We don't slap them until they talk. We got to be patient with them, and we start with hand signals, and you know, we work our way up. So it's not easy. But yeah, let's hear from Chris Nelson.
So what are the barriers to communication? In some parts, what's your goal in communicating? Are you trying to communicate just shooting the shit and talking trivial stuff? And what's that called? Something I suck at when you're just... I don't remember the term. You know, when you just talk with people on...
small talk?
There you go, small talk, yeah. I suck at that shit. And what's the goal when you're communicating with someone? Well, when we're talking about what we're doing, the great work and, you know, the rhetoric output wisdom goal to convey things that are in alignment with what is right, good, true, and moral. And... you know, trying to promote the agape state within ourselves and within the world around us. Well, we're trying to get people to accept truths. And that's one of the hardest things that people can try to communicate to others, because there's a lot of resistance to it. So the barriers are, one of the barriers that I can think of are emotions, because we are emotional thinkers. Emotions are part of our thoughts. Our thoughts lead to our emotions, and they feed back. When you have emotions, it feeds back to your thinking, and then you process that even more, and then eventually you have responses, and some of it is communicating, some of it is the anger or happiness or whatever emotional response you can have. And something I read a while ago, the title was like something like emotions, not reasoning or not rationality, is how you convince someone of something, because you know, it relates to a cognitive bias called the backfire effect. So where you just give someone a fact, and if they already don't know it, and they accept something that's oppositional to it, well, then they engage in cognitive dissonance, and your attempt to simply state something as it is will backfire, and then they dig their heels in deeper into what they previously considered as the reality, even though they may be wrong, but they're attached to it. And this relates to other cognitive biases and like the anchoring effect, or and another one where they're like, the first thing that you get information on about a certain topic or a subject or a concept or an idea, well, that first thing is the first thing that you got about it, and it's the only thing you know. So then that becomes your anchor point related to that subject or that topic or that concept, and then everything else that you look at in relation to that concept, well, it's like an anchor point for a boat, and it'll just go around that anchor. But that's what people become attached to. And the emotion is, you have to relate to people in an emotional capacity, as Sarah was saying, oftentimes in order to get them, because they're stuck in this more automatic, unaware, they don't know themselves enough, these cognitive biases that can help them overcome the limitations and being able to accept various truths or accept new information. And related to that is, you know, there was a study, Antonio Damasio, looking at people who had damage to the right side of their brain, so they couldn't feel emotions anymore. And then they lost the ability to make judgments, because that's what you use that side of your brain for salience, for the valence of the importance of something. So it's like, do you want this or that? Well, then if you can't make an evaluation of the positives or the pros, how it relates to you or whatever, into choosing things, and they lost the ability to make decisions in their lives. So that's very interesting, where the emotional aspect is so ingrained in our state of being that it's very important, but it can also be a hindrance in terms of communicating and getting certain information across and getting people to accept it. So, you know, one of the things, I'm not a big fan of NVC, nonviolent communication. I just prefer to just, you know, say what things are, and obviously that can backfire. But the NVC part is, you know, you go what people's needs are, the so-called needs, but they're just wants, but they categorize them as needs. So these things that people want, what people want to feel safe and secure and not threatened. So when you give them information that contradicts what they think is true, well, then that creates defensiveness in the ego, and then they can get emotional, and then they can dig their heels in, and there's all these cognitive biases. And the emotions and attachment. So that's, I guess, the whole belief. You got your emotions, and then you get attached to things, and then you have your beliefs, and you're attached to your beliefs. So those are big barriers to getting people to change their minds. And then you always have to relate to someone in a personal way, because that's one good way of manipulating people, is if you can relate to them on a personal basis, then they're more willing to listen to you. But you can just be conning them, and that's what con men do. They just relate to people, and they get a rapport going, and they're very charismatic or charming. And as soon as you get someone to relate to you, you give them compliments or things like that, then they're more susceptible to the further communication. If you're trying to convince them of something, if you relate to them on a personal level, you're going to be much more able to convince them of something, versus if you're not relating to them on a personal level at all, then you're trying to convince them, well, then they're going to be reticent to accept what you're saying. Or if you're asking them for a favor or to do something, if you've developed a personal rapport, it's much more, you'll have a much more higher degree of success in that capacity. So communication works the same way. If whatever your goal is, trying to communicate something, or if you're just trying to exchange ideas, then the person can be reticent to even entertain your ideas, as you know, many of us are aware. You tried to speak to aspects of our family and how they don't want to hear things. Even though they're part of our family, they have like a certain idea of who you are and what you know, or you're like a crazy black sheep, fringe, conspiracy person. So then they don't even entertain what you're saying. So there's all these like prejudgments and attachments to certain ideas or certain perceptions that they're not willing to suspend in order to properly evaluate information and then go from there. Or they're dealing with these attachments and these beliefs. That's it for me.
Thanks, Chris. You reminded me of something I wanted to mention from my notes. The need for objective reality. You know, I think a big struggle is a lot of folks are confused about reality itself, and they think reality itself is not a, there's no objective aspect to it. If you're in that mode of thinking,
you know, how are you going to ever come to agreement with someone if they think there is no such thing as objectivity, you know, and that's something I've run into quite a bit. And then beyond that, you know, in terms of there being some sort of moral objective aspect to the world that we're calling natural law, for a lot of folks, that just isn't, it's a very ambiguous idea. It doesn't strike them as being real. And if, you know, if that's your mentality and you're bound to that or some other ridiculous belief system, from my point of view, I don't see how we're going to ever have a grounded conversation. So early on when I'm having real conversations with other human beings and we're having some sharp dialogue, I try to discern whether this person is a relativist or not, because it really determines the likelihood of whether I'm going to have any chance or likelihood of having any kind of corroboration with this person. If we don't even agree on the basic aspects of reality, how are we going to agree on anything? You know, it's like, and that's a lot of folks out there that don't have that same views that all of us here do on that. So that's just a side note I had, I wanted to bring up. Thanks, Chris, for everything you said. I was going to bring it to Sarah. Are you ready to talk next, Sarah?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, first I want to say I agree with everything that everyone has said, especially what James is bringing up. I really appreciate that he said all of that, because I can really line up with that. And what Patty and Leslie, I just want to shout out that everything that they're saying in there is dead on. So... and I can appreciate everything that they're putting out as well. But when it comes to barriers, there's barriers that we don't see. I think there's a lot of barriers. I think we see, there's more barriers that we can't see than we can actually see. There's a lot of stuff that just is behind the curtain and people don't even consider it because they don't think it's actually a thing or real or whatever. And that stops a lot of our communication abilities as well. I think it also, a lot of the barriers that we have is because we know certain things to be true and not everybody else is there yet. And that, you know, not everybody else can hear that yet. I think one of the barriers that people might consider to start trying to observe, and this just comes from the practice of like being in your community and practicing being in your community, is seeing people who are not where we are when we're trying to communicate information like this. I like to kind of see it more like, well, not that people are bad or anything or wrong. Like, I don't want to give the wrong impression, but as an example, people who have had like serious, like accidents where they have serious brain injury or medical treatments that have caused brain injury, like cancer treatments can do this, that kind of thing. Car accidents, all kinds of stuff, stroke, heart, you know, all kinds of things, right? I've worked with people like these, like this, and what happens with them is that they seem to lose their ability to be able to communicate or function or understand even the most basic of things. But really, they haven't lost those things at all. They really, they can all be retaught, all of those things. So I like to look at those kind of barriers that are up in our world where people are put in boxes like that. Like, I forget who mentioned being put in a box, but you know, people are put in boxes and then they're written off. So I don't like to look at it like that, where, you know, just across the board for everybody. I don't like to look at it like people have lost their ability to learn anything or take anything in. They've just forgotten how. And it takes that compassion and patience, like you guys were talking about, in order to just be the steward of somebody who needs to be retaught something. Like we're teaching our five-year-old how to do something or how to know something or the information that is required for them to move forward. And I know that that can be done simply because I've worked with people who are in that kind of position. So if people who are in those kind of positions can do it, I know that everybody else can do it too. It just depends on whether or not they are willing to choose to take it in or not. Sometimes it's just about choice, and we can't force people to take in anything. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but I don't know, is the horse gonna drink the water or not? You know, it's, what are you gonna do? Like shove the horse's head in the pond? You know, we can't do that. So that's just as bad as, I feel like that's almost just as bad as like putting a gun to somebody's head. It's like, you know, that's force. It's not ethical. So that's how I would look at that. And I see more invisible barriers in our environment than I do external ones that we can see. I mean, there's a lot of external ones we can see, but there's so many invisible ones. And they never get addressed and they never get thought about, which is okay, you know, but it's, that's what I always think about as far as barriers goes with communication. And for solutions, I think the main solution is to figure out all this stuff internally for yourself first, and then start small and work in your immediate environment, maybe the family within your home. And then the next step is like the environment in your community. And this brings that very, very big world out there down some, and not so overwhelming in order when it comes to like teaching this kind of stuff or relaying, I should say, information and trying to communicate and build that trust with each other and that faith in each other so that we can trust each other in order to take in information. So, and then, you know, just keep branching out farther and farther, the larger that grows. And I think that would help a great deal. And setting the bar high, setting the standard as high as you can set it, and doing that with, you know, what Chris was talking about, you know, authentic agape love, you can do that. And you can do that and let it really sink in with people. So, and the last thing I would just say is that it might be something to consider to use a pay it forward system. When we pay it forward with things, it really can go a long way in how we end up communicating with each other, even non-verbally, you know, doing little things like somebody at my local laundromat is a dollar short, so they can't dry their clothes. I have a dollar. Here's four quarters. Dry your clothes. Without even being like, no, don't worry about it. It's a big deal. Little things can really build that connection between people and really helps and goes a very long way in opening up the doorways to communication. Now, I've just found that my own personal experience that happens in my world all the time. It didn't always happen because, I mean, I didn't operate like this all the time, but these kind of things go a long way. And when you have that kind of even like stranger camaraderie with your neighbors in your community, those doors just open right up. You can talk to anybody. And they will listen. And even if they don't necessarily agree with every single thing you say, or they take in what you say immediately, that doesn't mean it doesn't sit with them until your next interaction. And they come back and go, oh, you know, that thing, you know, I remember you, blah, 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 blah. And I mean, it's just kind of an amazing thing to be a part of when you operate like that. So it's something to think about, paying it forward, leading by example, you know, just doing the things that you inherently have the right to do will encourage others to emulate you. So I don't know. I agree with everything you guys said, and that's what I would say probably about barriers and solutions to possibly ripping barriers down.
Yeah, and setting a good example, you know, and that's kind of what we're trying to do in our conversations online as much as possible. But, you know, real conversations with real people is our best chance to kind of get a reflection of ourselves and see how we're doing in the world. And I think it's just so crucial to the thing that James is saying and what you're saying, Sarah, is to have a heart. And I remember having a conversation with one friend. This was like not too long after the whole scam plan came into effect. And, you know, all these medical folks were trying to scam everybody with their evil plans to destroy humanity. And I'm trying to explain to a good friend of mine, a lifetime friend, the way I see things. And this good lifetime friend is having trouble recognizing the point of view that I'm sharing, let me put it that way. And we got off on some tangents. We both got a little bit emotionally frustrated with the conversation. But in the end, we wound up talking about something called heart-based communication, because I was trying to break down words and explain to him what words mean, etymology, and he felt like I was preaching at him, you know, and he's like, you know, let's just get to the heart of it, you know. And I learned a lot from that conversation, that sometimes I want to get hung up on certain words, but really it's about the heart of being able to communicate with this person in the future more than it is winning this particular, you know, round of conversation. It's not a boxing match, man. It doesn't work that way. People are going to realize on their own time. So that's huge. Thanks, Sarah.
I just on that note, and then it's really fast. I would just say, even like when we do communicate, like what you just expressed just now with your friend, when we do communicate and there was kind of like a miscommunication, it feels like a failure, but really it's not really a failure. It's just learning how to evolve that communication a little bit better. So I think that's a really nice.
Keeping the door open is more important than being able to describe the door specifically, right? It's like, you know, you got to keep the convo going, especially when it comes to young people, you know. And if they shut down on us and we can't talk to them anymore and they won't listen, then that avenue's closed, you know. So I don't know. There's a balance too, because we also don't want to put ourselves in a position where we don't say the truth when it needs to be said. Let me put it that way. And I think we're all well aware of that. And that's partly why we do it on a podcast, because it allows us to really get these ideas out. Jerry, what do you got to say on getting around these obstacles and the ones that stick out for you?
Another great question. So lots of thoughts are coming to my head as I listen to all of you, but as far as the obstacles, there's too many to name, to be honest. I mean, people get triggered, and by people, I mean me. And I know that other people also get triggered. I mean, that's like the story of why I left the military. Like, one of the reasons is I started, you know, reading about that the vaccines, like, they have these chips in it. And so I just talked to my officer, my petty officer, and I told him about it. Yeah, he censored me, essentially. So boom, that's the barrier right there. Just like you were saying, Chris, with the COVID, like, we got to get back to the heart-based intelligence, like communication. You're correct about that. And if you have too much BS going on in your head, like, you're not open. We got to be open to receive the truth. And that just adds on to the point you were saying earlier about patience, how important that is. because usually when you're meditating, you're patient and you get all these, you're kind of like connected to God in a sense, and you just get these downloads. So you got to be open, and if you're closed, then you're not going to really receive the truth. You're going to be, I guess, set in your ways. So, I mean, I would just say practice open-mindedness. I mean, look into things that you may disagree with, or just keep learning new topics and all this. Definitely study natural law, the law of morality, to understand the world and yourself better. That's above, so below. But yeah, I mean, it starts with the individual, like Sarah says, like you got to do that shadow work. If you don't do it, then, you know, communication is going to remain a miscommunication. There's going to be a blockage. And the way to overcome that is with practice. And to Sarah's point, when you miscommunicate, there's nothing, I guess you learn from it, and that makes you a better communicator overall. So yeah, just speak your mind, you know, everyone here, speak your mind, speak the truth, because we know it, don't hesitate. We know this shit, you know, we've been probably hearing about this for a long time, so you got to have confidence in yourself and eliminate those triggers. Identify the triggers. At least that's what I'm doing, is why did I get off-ended? It's like you have to be accountable with yourself. There's steps to be taken in order to overcome these problems. If not, the problems won't ever go away. So for me, it's like I have this issue with money, and so like when it gets brought up, I kind of get triggered. But at least I'm being honest with myself, and now I'm that closer to overcoming it. And yeah, just be honest with yourself. And once you're compassionate with yourself, you can start being compassionate to others, listening to others, which will help them to essentially see the truth. So I'll pass it to you, Chris.
Thanks, Jerry. Hey, you know, I feel like we're just kind of getting started on this topic, and we're already almost an hour and a half in, and starting to feel that need to go make my dinner. So I think I'm going to close it up for tonight, and I would like to invite you all back probably next week. I think we should continue this, you know, from the art of communication to the art of conversation. You know, and there's a lot more to be said about communication. To me, communication and trust are two things that go arm in arm. You need one to have the other, and you need the other to gain more of the one. You know, you get better communication when you learn to trust someone, and you are able to get more trust when you're able to effectively communicate. And, you know, I often think of, I have so many more notes. I've thought a lot about the Tower of Babel and this weird time we're in right now where, you know, partly what started this whole conversation is trying to communicate with people. Like last year for the funnel conference, I realized I was communicating on 6 different platforms, you know, and it's like one person I communicate with them on Discord, another one's Telegram, another person is a text message, another person is Messenger. It's gotten out of control, and it reminds me of this tower we've built, this structure of all this technology up to the heavens, but it all comes crashing down when we can't, you know, convey a simple feeling or thought and have people agree or disagree with that, you know, and work productively together on a relationship. You know, it all goes to shit. And that's kind of what I see the danger of the current time. There's just so many obfuscations, so many traumas, like you all talked about, so many damn obstacles, we can't even name them. You know, we're just barely getting started. And the people we're trying to talk to have their own emotional issues, and we have our own. So There's a lot more to discuss, and there's a lot more to communicate, and that's why we do these podcasts, and that's why I really appreciate having these really intelligent minds with me to help flesh out these ideas. So recommend people check out each one of these people's work. check out evolveconsciousness.org. Check out Sarah Cross, Crosstalk, Brandon Spencer's Twitch TV, Derek Bartolicelli with Awaken Your Mind, Dissolving the Divide, and James Cordner with Voluntarist Academy. If you guys want to share any of your links in the chat, that'd be great. And if anybody wants to come back and join me next week, I would appreciate it. Thanks for coming. And Derek, I'm glad your battery's held up. If anyone else have anything else they're dying to say before we close up for tonight, feel free. Now's your chance. Go ahead, Brandon.
Maybe call next week's episode The Heart of Communication.
Ooh, good one. Great idea.
I've been hanging around Derek too much. He's a little upside down, but
he's working for NASA now. Hanging from the ceiling. They're going to have him spray painting his hair next. All right, friends. Did I miss anything? See some smiles. Everything looks cool. Thanks for joining me, folks. I'm going to go ahead and put on a little bit of And Evil music here and look forward to seeing everyone next week. Thanks for coming. Much appreciated. Bye, guys.